Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, our weekly look inside University of Virginia athletics. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today at the McHugh Center is Mike Curtis, head strength and conditioning coach for basketball at UVA. Mike, this is big for me to finally lure you across the street from JPJ. Thanks for stopping by.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
You oversee strength and conditioning for both of the basketball programs here, but Rob Hornet does a lot of work with the women's team. Mm-hmm. How do you and Rob divide those responsibilities on the women's side?
Well, I'd probably say that if we looked at it from a percentage standpoint, you know, 90 to 95% of my duties are with men's basketball, and 10% roughly in terms of structuring things organizationally, a training system for both teams that's implemented by me, and Rob kind of does all the day-to-day stuff. So, you know, I'd say it's probably reverse on his side. Probably 90%, 95% of what he does is solely directed at the women's program, and 5 to 10% is a joint effort where we both are kind of spending time with both teams. So 90%, but 10% of my stuff is probably more administrative, more so than his stuff is kind of just assisting me with the day-to-day activities of men's basketball.
You know a lot more about Tony Bennett now than you did when you accepted a position on his new staff back in 2009. Mm-hmm. How has your working relationship with Coach Bennett evolved over the years?
I'd probably say it's, I don't want to say it's night and day, because it's not drastically changed in terms of just how Tony and I interact as people. But we just have an understanding now of what it is that is best for our program in terms of health, development, all those things. I think when you first kind of come in, you know, your main task is how do we change the culture, get the kind of kids that we want, have the right people on the bus. And we hit our bumps and bruises along the way. And our level of communication is one that now we rely on each other to kind of direct the training process for our athletes. Early on, I don't think that was probably the case, just because, you know, we're just trying to figure each out as human beings and individuals. But now it's, you know, I'd say that there's this relationship there that sometimes I can finish his sentences before, you know, he finishes, and he can finish my sentences before I finish. So, you know, it's come a long way, and I think that we both know that we need each other to kind of get to the end goal. And it's, you know, we have conversations every day as it relates to our training and, you know, practice length, duration, some of the things that are going to kind of make up practice. But I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, I feel like I'm a valued piece to what we're doing, and I think he values my expertise and my insight on things, and I just appreciate having a coach who's willing to listen and value what I do.
I didn't write anything during the course of the season because I was afraid I would jinx something, but the team last season stayed remarkably healthy, and I know there's an element of luck. There are freak mm-hmm. injuries that you have no control over, but you also think that's kind of a product of, you know, you're learning over the years and you know, knowing when to taper and when to go hard?
Absolutely. And then just the acquisition of some of the technology that we've been able to bring in helps you kind of quantify what you think is going on. So, you know, there is value to coaching intuition, but, you know, having this technology that kind of tracks load allows us to kind of look at trends, to get feedback from the athletes, to kind of see when there's soreness, when there's starting to be this trend that may take us in a direction that we don't want to be in as it relates to health. You know, those things have played a pretty important role in terms of my ability to communicate with Tony in terms of manipulation of the training process to ensure that, you know, we're giving them a training exposure and a load that they can handle, and as facilitatory of a adaptation, you know, I've used a bunch of big words, but allows us to go out on game day and be healthy and at an optimal level of readiness to be able to play. So it's our communication, it's our technology, all those things have played a role in where we've gotten over the last couple of years.
You've done this work at the college level, obviously, and also in the NBA when you were with the Grizzlies. Is there anything you miss about working with NBA players? It seems like it might be, I mean, you get much more of a finished product there, don't you, when they come to you?
I don't know if you say it's a finished product, but, you get a extremely high caliber athlete. Yeah. And that's nothing to take away from the kids that we're getting. But, you know, part of why I've remained here at the university and not ventured back in the NBA is that I love the developmental process, you know, and you get a chance to kind of look at what physically are going to be rate limiters for these kids and address them over the course of 4 years. NBA, you don't get that opportunity. You know, the volume of games is too high. You know, the main priority is that's when the next game, practices and things are that are in many cases secondary. But I love this environment and, you know, the process of developing both them physically, mentally, and then, you know, we all kind of seen where what Tony's work and our staff's work is done in terms of developing the technical and tactical and skill aspect of the overall athlete here. So
I will date myself by admitting that as a Times Dispatch sports writer, I covered you back when you were playing basketball for Manchester High School. Was that part of the attraction of coming back to Virginia to be back near family as well and hometown?
It was part of it, you know, and I think, you know, more so than Richmond, it's Charlottesville, yeah. It's the university. You know, this place has given me so much, you know, 2 degrees and spent 6 years here. And, you know, I thought it was going to be an amazing opportunity to come back and work with a man who's phenomenal in Tony Bennett and hopefully, you know, take this program to places that it hadn't been in a while and do that in a way that's sustainable. You know, I was looking forward to possibly having a role in that here. So, you know, I wanted to give back to a place that's given me so much.
Yeah. Along those lines, as you mentioned, you have 2 degrees from here. You were co-captain of the basketball team your fourth year. I've asked Jason Williford this question. I'll ask you too. Is there something special, you know, about not only being back at your alma mater, but helping return it to national prominence like that?
Absolutely.
You played on good teams. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I played on a couple good teams. Obviously the one with Jason, my first year, he was a fourth year. We accomplished that Elite Eight, and, you know, that was something special. But, you know, like I said, this place has given so much to me to come back and to contribute in some way, shape, or form to what I think has been a progression to something that is special. I don't know how to say it. You know, it's just, I think the last 3 years has been special. The last 7 years have been special to kind of go through the process of, you know, where we begun, where it was a struggle to compete. And now, you know, we have quality kids who want to compete every single day. And for me to, you know, I kind of get nostalgic and remember my first and second year here and the grind and the fight that you go through. And it's been really fun to witness that on a daily basis and see Virginia across the chest of those kids that I'm working with and know that, you know, I've kind of been through that as well, you know, so it makes it really special.
Jason Williford is another Richmonder, and you've known him for more than 20 years now. Is it cool to come to work every day, see him, and I know you guys give each other a hard time, but have that connection and, you know, that bond that goes back so far?
Yeah, oddly enough, we went to the same private Catholic school early on, and we didn't even really know it.
All Saints?
Yeah. So we go way back. but, yeah, you know, Jay also gives me that sense of nostalgia from Northside Richmond. So you kind of get the Northside Richmond out of him, and we kind of talk about, you know, things and people that we experienced during our time growing up in Virginia and Richmond specifically. So, you know, it kind of adds a little bit more to everything that's fulfilling about this experience for me, because I also get to work with a guy that came from the same roots.
The NBA draft is a week from today. Because of your background in the league, are you a guy that NBA teams will seek out with questions about Malcolm?
Yes.
And other players?
Yes. Quite a few people that I work with or develop relationships with in the NBA still are there. So I think they, you know, they think that I, because of my time there, have some insight as to what it takes to have a career in that league. So, yeah, a lot of people do reach out to me. And, you know, some of those things, most of what they're asking me is all, you know, related to the physical qualities,
right,
of the athlete. But, you know, a lot of times they'll ask me some basketball-related questions, some questions about their work ethic and who they are, you know, from a character standpoint. But, yeah, I field quite a bit of calls about our guys. So, that's part of the process during this time of year.
From a physical standpoint, what are Malcolm's greatest assets as an NBA prospect, and what are his weaknesses?
Well, I think one of his great qualities is that he's just a worker. You know, he sets goals and he lives his life every day in pursuit of those goals. And you don't find that very often in athletes, specifically basketball athletes, who have an opportunity to play at that level. But he's a kid that, you know, you tell him this is what you need to do to be successful, he's going to do that each and every day. And I think, you know, the product physically is what you saw, you know, his 4 years here, 5 years here, that he's just a really strong kid. You know, a lot of people have not characterized him as a, you know, a great athlete, but, you know, great athletes come in different packages, right. You know, and, you know, he's strong, explosive. You know, if he gets his shoulder by you with that first move, you're not going to knock him off his line. You know, he's going to find his way to the rim. You know, he may not jump up and dunk over people, you know, on a regular basis, but, you know, I think he has enough of an IQ and enough self-awareness to know what his limitations are, work on those things, and make himself a better basketball player and a basketball player that can have a long career in the NBA just because he's, you know, he is who he is. And, you know, anybody who's met him knows that, you know, he's a very driven and focused individual. And if you put an obstacle or task in front of you, he's going to find a strategy to overcome that. And, you know, I think, you know, from a weakness standpoint, people would point to that, you know, that athleticism thing. But I think he has a different type of athleticism, right, that is in conjunction with an IQ that's going to allow him to be able to be successful at that level.
Justin Anderson has been back at JPJ training periodically this offseason. What advice did you give him at this time last year as he headed off to the NBA?
I said, just know who you are and be that person, you know, and be that basketball player. Because, you know, the one thing about the NBA is there's only a few, you know, Kobe's and LeBron's and, you know, that type of athlete. Everybody else is a specialist. They do something extremely well, you know. So you need to make sure you know what that is, what those teams that are looking at you, what they value in you as a player, and just, you know, just be the best at that as you possibly can, because that will allow you to kind of get to that level and then stay at that level. But when you kind of don't know who you are and you're trying to do too much, those are the things that can get you out of that league really, really fast.
To talk about this year's team, UVA fans are about to get their first real looks at Austin Nichols and Mamadi Diakite, both of whom sat out last season. How much were you able to accomplish with those two, you know, in their redshirt years?
To be honest, not as much as I probably would have liked. I think one of the things for both of those kids was an absolute culture shock for them coming here. You know, we have a culture of work and accountability that I think is second to none, you know, and I think they struggled early on trying to, you know, figure that out, and they eventually got to that place, and they've been working really hard since. But, you know, I've told them this, there were some days early on that we missed opportunities to get better. And now we're trying to make up for that. But they're both extremely talented. Like I said, they turned the corner in terms of their work ethic and their drive and competitiveness, you know, and we're still working on improving that every single day. But, you know, those two are extremely gifted. Yeah. So, you know, we'll work these next 8 weeks to bridge the gap where I think we lost some time. And then I think people will be treated to a nice product when the season starts.
About this time last year, Jared Reuter showed up weighing 272 pounds. He is now listed at 243. Does that reflect an unusual level of commitment to the program that you and Randy Bird, who director of sports nutrition, laid out for Jared?
I would give most of the credit to Jared. You know, so, you know, Randy and I, you know, we have our roles and we try to do them to our best of ability, but we can't accomplish anything unless we have, you know, willing and able athletes who are willing to engage in the training process that we lay out for them. You know, and Jared was religious in his effort to lose the weight, to get in shape and be in a situation where he, if called upon, could give us, you know, minutes. And like Malcolm, you know, he lived every day in pursuit of what we laid out for him and what his goals were. And, you know, like I said, the credit goes to him. You know, he's worked extremely hard. All he wants to do is contribute to winning. And, you know, we laid out the plan. This is where you need to be from a body composition standpoint. We think the weight should be here, you know, and this will put you in a situation, if called upon, to be able to contribute. And he lived every day in pursuit of that.
The current roster includes 4 true freshmen and 1 redshirt freshman in Mamadi. None of them would be described as bulky, and at least a couple you could call downright skinny. What's your challenge with this group, knowing that each of them has individual needs?
Yeah, and you know the one thing that's really great about this group, and just seeing them the first couple days that they're here and being able to watch them play, is they're extremely talented. You know, so from that standpoint, it's just solely what is it can I do to address those physical rate limiters. And, you know, the biggest thing as you addressed is, you know, I call them my skinny minis. So is to just get them stronger at this point. You know, from what I've seen in terms of some of their physical qualities that they have in terms of agility and their verticality and all those things, those things are there. They can be built upon, but the rate limiter is just absolute strength, and just trying to get them strong right now so they can hold positions and be durable for, you know, the rigors of the ACC. You know, and I think our program is structured to address that early on. So I think that we'll be able to make some headway, you know, as long as they kind of fall in the same line with most of the guys that we've had here that are willing and able participants and are goal-driven and competitive and live every day in pursuit of what we set out in terms of goals for them. They'll get where they need to be by the time the season hits. But, you know, obviously all the kids that we have here, it's 4 years of development. So we'll get where we need to get this year, and then we'll continue to develop them over the course of the remainder of their 4 years here.
In August, the team will spend about 10 days in Spain, play several games there, and there will be a number of practices leading up to the tour. Did you learn any lessons from the trip to Europe in 2012 that you can apply this year? This makes for a long year, doesn't it?
Yeah, we learned a lot of lessons that year, and that was part of the, you know, impetus for us getting some of the technology that we have now, is to be able to quantify the stress that we're imposing on the athletes. So, you know, we learned that just because you have a certain amount of hours that you can utilize for practice, you don't necessarily have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, much of what we need to do is be efficient, you know, and then there's also that psychological aspect to it, the mental reprieve that these kids need. So, you know, we came up with a little bit different strategy in terms of how we approach summer school, and told those guys, you know, you're not going to come to summer two unless you absolutely want to be here, you want to train. And if you are here, you know, it's voluntary, but you know, you won't have that added stress that you have here at the university, which is the academic stress, because, you know, it's, having been a student here, that's another thing that we have to account for our athletes, is there's a significant amount of academic stress that is also imposed on them in addition to what we do from a sports standpoint. So, you know, we wanted to eliminate, you know, one or two or all those stresses, and then kind of get here with 6 weeks to go, practice, and head over there and hopefully compete and play some games and get these young guys acclimated to our system, and then, you know, be ready to get into the season. Because I think in the past what we found is that we gave them a little bit too much, and it kind of contributed to some of the overuse issues that we had had. So we don't want to recreate that situation.
When Bronco Mendenhall took over as head football coach here in December, he brought Frank Wintrick with him from BYU to oversee the strength and conditioning program. You've mentioned to me that there's a real synergy now between the football and basketball strength coaches. Is that something that could benefit both programs, you think?
Absolutely. You know, I think that in many ways we are kindred spirits, and, you know, we think very similarly. And, you know, I think he has a wealth of knowledge, and I think I have a little bit of knowledge that we both can share with each other to kind of help better our athletes. But, you know, our conversations, our meetings with our two staffs, just in passing, have been phenomenal. You know, we've talked about setting up some continuing education sessions between both units as the summer progresses, and we're looking forward to that. But, you know, we can kind of share from our failures and our successes, and hopefully create better physical performance and training programs for the athletes that we deal with. But I think there's a wealth of knowledge on his end that I can tap into from a resource, as a resource for us in our training, and hopefully I can provide that for him as well.
Well, I promised you I'd keep this to right around 20 minutes, so we're coming up on that. Thanks again for your time, and I hope you get a little time off this summer, though that may not happen looking at the schedule. I'm not sure when that'll come.
Probably not, but this is my favorite time of year. This is when we get down and dirty, and I spend the most amount of time with the kids, and I really look forward to it.
Well, great. Well, this is a quiet time of year for UVA athletics, at least in terms of competition, but things will be ramping back up again soon on grounds. For information on all of our teams, check virginiasports.com, and I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.